And joining me in the KRVS studios now are Paige Krause, who's the Education Coordinator at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, and also Jaron Schecksnyder, who is playwright, writer, creative person. And your piece, Jaron, Stars Like People, will open next week, and it is the first in the ACA's new residency program to support local artists. So you'll open that year-long series of residencies. Paige, this has been something very important to you, and you all have set up the series for residencies throughout the year. So before we talk specifically about Stars Like People, tell us about the program, why you all started it, and how you envision it.
Sure. Yeah, we're really excited. It's a new program to the ACA. This year, we're actually getting ready to open our new season, which is really exciting, and we'll have four artists in residence, all working from different disciplines. Jaron will be our first. And there's so much interesting work, like we were talking about earlier, happening in Lafayette, and we wanted to create sort of a platform where artists just weren't coming in and having to perform, and but instead to have really a platform for them to experiment, to create, to develop this work, and for us as a staff to be able to support that, not just in the capacity of the development of the piece, but how we could help them with marketing. If this was a piece of work that they maybe wanted to start here, it was an incubator for all these ideas, and where could they take it next? How can we give them those materials to help them develop it further just from Lafayette? Or could we help with assistance with grant writing, or possibly that this residency, which is just based as far as it's not a live-in residency, it's just working within the community, so with local artists, but how could we possibly bring this, and it might be something that they're just beginning on now, but they could apply to do a residency in another state that might create more of a live-in space that they would develop the work and bring it further. So it's kind of a nice idea just for us as a staff to be able to be involved in the process, and then for the artists to be able to lean on us with tech support or marketing support or support us to get their work out further and to bring it into the community.
So. Right, and when you say that they might want to take it to another state or someplace mm-hmm. else, just having that on their portfolio,
sure.
their artistic resume, that they have this support that you've given them, that the space has offered them, that
sure.
must add an awful lot to their experience as well. And what you were talking about, it sounded like you said we don't want them to just either be a performance or there to be an art exhibit. It sounds like you're trying to create an opportunity for those young artists like Jaron, who aren't thinking that way. They aren't thinking about the box of the theater or the box of the art gallery, that they're really flowing into several disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like you're really trying to offer them that, because you have all of those spaces,
right.
But within a much larger context,
right.
and can offer them the opportunity to flow.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And with these four artists that are going to be here this year, each one of them is really doing something extremely different, and they're each coming from such a different background. And I think within that, the four artists are going to be able to find support within each other to see what ideas they're coming up with, mm-hmm. or things that they might be running against, or support for one another through the residency. So,
right. Well, let's kind of talk a bit about Jaron's background. And I know that some people in our audience have had the pleasure of hearing you on our uh-huh. our shows over the years. You were away from Lafayette for a while in college, I believe.
Correct.
You went off to Vermont.
Yes. Bennington College.
Bennington College. Mm-hmm. And then returned mm-hmm. back to this area. And I know a lot of people were very happy that you did to have your originality and creativity. So let's just talk about some of your, again, it's hard to say how to describe it, theatrical, artistic background that has brought you to this particular performance. What interested you about presentation art?
Maybe?
Or putting things out for people, writing or
right.
performance?
Well, I originally started in elementary and middle school doing acting, and eventually became more interested in the other side of it, the backstage, and how you create a story. And a lot of I've started to do art education, and a lot of my angle is storytelling. And you know that theater doesn't have to be just about representing something.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be creating, which mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't really consider it that mm-hmm, way.
Mm-hmm. But think of it as simply a story.
Right, exactly.
In that very classical sense mm-hmm. of a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah.
But you obviously begin to think of it in a different way.
Yeah.
And was there anything that really inspired you towards that? Was it, did you have a love of other kinds of arts that you felt could be incorporated, and so it would become something other than just storytelling?
I think it was more of a frustration with theater mm-hmm. than a want for it to be a different type of art form. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's there's too many plays that are two people sitting in a coffee shop talking. Mm-hmm. and so how to sort of expand the idea of what it means to have a performance,
right.
And have an audience watch something, you know, that doesn't have to be that kind of flat
separation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that too many plays, and obviously there are some great plays written that are dialogue based and uh-huh. that are simply about people having discussions in various parts of their lives. But yes, it can be very limiting and might not be able to express what you want to express.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's just the things that interest me as mm-hmm. an artist, mm-hmm. you know, not knocking the theater that's out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So tell us about your first plays once you got back here. What did you start working on?
Well, I started directing house plays, is what mm-hmm. I called them. And so far since I've been back, I've done The Swan, which was in my apartment, written by Elizabeth Egloff. And then I did the play Bataille, which was based off of a short story by a local writer here, Emily Thibodeau. So we used that script and used it as a base for improv, and improv the story. And from that, the writer created a script.
Well, and again, just what you're talking about original work mm-hmm. and creating work, mm-hmm. not just taking something that's already written and just dressing it up and performing it in front of people. You're really taking from your own experiences, your friends' experiences, drawing on your creativity. Now, a house play, uh-huh. I think what most of us think are back to either our own childhood or our children putting on a play uh-huh. in our house. Why did you think to put it on in your house?
A sense of reality. Mm-hmm. The first play, The Swan, that I did was set in an apartment, and I could either create a stage that looked like an apartment or I could use my apartment. And I just sort of said, why not? And we tried it, and it really brought forth so many things that I never would have expected. It's so fruitful. You know, there's so many different angles you can explore doing it in a 3D space like that.
And you wrote The Swan.
No, I did not.
You did not write that one. So what did you start discovering as you began staging it in your house?
Well, you get much more play with space. In my apartment, I had scenes in the living room, on the porch, in the bathroom, where the audience sat on my bed and watched.
Through the bathroom uh-huh. the door.
Right. So really playing with that, and then also expecting more of your audience and making them engage in a way that at first is tangibly uncomfortable. You know, yes. You could sense it with the group. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But by the end, they were so into it and much more engaged than what I've experienced with more traditional theater.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us briefly the story of The Swan.
So it's this woman, Dora, who's not on a great track and in her life. And a swan runs into her window, and she takes it in and eventually turns into a man, but is still, like, honking and eating orange peels and stuff like that. And they eventually form a relationship and, you know, stuff like mm-hmm. that.
How did you create the swan? Was it a person?
It was, yeah.
Another person.
Mm-hmm. And a person and lots of feathers, which I'm still finding in my apartment to this day.
So there's residue from the production in your life
so.
As well. And what were the was the audience? I mean, first of all, how many people did you let in your apartment at a time?
That show, I think we started with 10 and went up to 13.
When you realized you could maybe fit
a few more.
Were they initially uncomfortable with the idea, or did they come very open? I mean, what was it like when they first arrived?
I think different people had different mm-hmm. expectations. Mm-hmm. Some were so excited and so ready to go, but you could tell there were some that were a little,
mm-hmm, not sure where to put
right.
themselves in your house.
Uh-huh, exactly.
That's right. Well, did you move them around? Did you make them go to different rooms?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just stay in one spot and watch
yeah.
the action in other rooms.
And I think that was an important part of it. I was in the space as well. And I would say, okay, we're going to move to this room. So they had sort of a something they could hold on to, mm-hmm. you know, someone mm-hmm. to trust. Like, mm-hmm. it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this.
Well, that's actually kind of a classic character in some plays, too, the person who leads you through.
Yeah.
The guide.
Definitely.
In some plays. So you were the guide.
Uh-huh.
And then you did a second one. So obviously that was a positive experience, the
mm-hmm.
Swan.
Definitely.
And the second one you did was a story by Emily Thibodeau. Who's just recently started a new literary journal, I believe, Embrasse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
French language, I think, translation. Again, another young creative here. So what was that story about?
So that one was basically about young love and how it's terrible, to put it simply.
You had a ready-made audience for that one, didn't you? So once again, you staged that in your apartment.
In her apartment.
In her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a different venue.
Mm-hmm.
And what did that do to you as a director, I guess? How did that feel, going to someone else's house and putting it on?
I guess it was a little more difficult, but quickly got mm-hmm. over that hesitation. Mm-hmm. And since we were improving it and writing it as part of the process, we were able to explore the space much more than in my apartment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had scenes that happened outside, and the different scenes would also kind of change time and place. So you could be at a dance studio in the backyard, but you'd go to the front yard and you were at someone else's house or something like that. So it really played.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Did you, I'm sure you did, you had such small audiences. I mean, what was their response at the end after they'd gone through being uncomfortable or getting used to it? What were their reactions in the very end to having a story told in this way?
The strangest thing about it is that I think an audience is used to, you know, the lights go dark, the curtain closes or whatever.
We know that protocol.
Right, very mm-hmm. symbolic. And you don't have that with the house play. So it's just the audience or the characters walk away and then walk back, you know, and that's mm-hmm. that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very jarring, I think, for some people. They mm-hmm. kind of look around and, you know, mm-hmm. Wasn't sure when to clap or if it was over. Mm-hmm. So just a lot of hesitation and just, you know, I had a lot of people say, you're taking me on this journey and we'll see where we end up, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost imagining audiences a similar reaction to when they saw some of the Surrealist plays or Beckett's plays, that uncertainty as mm-hmm. to how to react,
mm-hmm.
that you're really inserting that into your creation as well.
Yeah.
And we have to do it in different ways now, you know, because we're kind of used to waiting for Godot. You know, we know that sort
yeah.
of strategy. So, but did many of them in that audience go to both plays?
A few, yeah
definitely. Mm-hmm. And was there some kind of sense of, I guess, feeling that they had experienced this genre of theater? And I think you called it found space. Mm-hmm. You're starting to think of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did they like it? Did they think this was something worth exploring? Did they?
I think so. I think it kind of shakes people's idea of what theater can be mm-hmm. in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because of that, I also have a habit of casting non-actors because sometimes it can be very insular. And so that sort of gets a new breath into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that, I had different people who had maybe never been to a play or had been to one in years. And so them just sort of getting this dose of what it can be.
Right. The actors, you mean? Or
the actors
audience.
And the audience.
Okay.
They would bring in, you know, mm-hmm. their friends or people that they knew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
What is it like working with people who have really never acted before?
It's interesting. In this play, I have a few of my characters, but one in particular, he has never been in a play, and it's like the whole process of realization. It's making me relearn what it is to act, you know.
You as a director.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. He'll say something like, you know, I realize that I'm feeling sad. Yeah, that's
yes,
it. You're doing it.
You're
acting.
Almost like a parent with a child taking its first steps or something.
Uh-huh,
like,
yeah.
I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guests are Jaron Schechtsnyder, whose performance Stars Like People will open next Tuesday at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. It is the first in the ACA's residency program supporting local artists. Paige Krause is also with us, who is the education coordinator for the Acadiana Center for the Arts. So coming out of this experience with those two plays that you've done in your house, you created Stars Like People.
Mm-hmm.
And this will actually take place, I guess, in your home, the ACA's home, mm-hmm. all over the ACA. What was the process like? Had you written this before you were chosen for the residency program, or you wrote it because of the residency?
Yeah, because of the residency.
Okay, so you knew the spaces that you'd be working with. Mm-hmm. And how did you begin thinking about that? Because obviously there's a lot more room than your apartment.
Well, whenever I was approached by Paige and the board committee, you know, they said that they were interested in my use of found spaces and abstract spaces. And my approach was like, well, okay, if you want that, let's go all the way. So from that, we're using – there's seven scenes, and each scene happens in a different space of the ACA. And
some of these are spaces that most of us never see.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
which makes it even more intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's galleries, but there's also backstage. There's the green room. All sorts of areas.
The boardroom.
The boardroom, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, let's talk about the story then, because it's not just simply, I guess, sort of a freewheeling exploration of the back rooms of the ACA. What is the story? Stars Like People. How did you begin conceiving of this story?
Very lofty. so the a lot of it is from Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot, the book, the work, and the title is a quote from him: "Planets and stars, like people, are born, live, and die." Mm. So these seven scenes are the arc of a lifetime. You see, a 7-year-old boy all the way to his 70-year-old grandmother. And so they happen in seven different rooms, and it's a span of a day.
I'm beginning to see this pattern, this number pattern. And we always talk about the seven ages of man.
Yes, and there was a lot of research and getting into seven deadly sins, seven chakras. In Pale Blue Dot, the number seven just kept coming up. It's a very religious number, but also a celestial number. Intentional.
Mm-hmm. Prime number, mm-hmm. all kinds of mm-hmm. numbers. So lots of sevens in Stars Like People. Tell us just a bit about the book, Carl Sagan's book, for those who don't know about it.
So Pale Blue Dot, the title comes from the idea, the Voyager, I'm going to get names wrong, something that mm-hmm. was in space, mm-hmm. Turned around at its furthest point, turned around to face Earth and took a picture of it. Mm-hmm. And so in this vast universe, the Earth is a pale blue dot, a speck of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Mm-hmm. It's just that idea that the universe is very big and we are not. Mm-hmm. And it came, when I read it, I saw it as a self-help book. You know, there's this very calming idea of it doesn't matter, pretty much. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The world goes on.
Tell us about, there are seven staging areas. There are people from age 7 to 70. Mm-hmm. Is there a narrative thread through it, or are these just little vignettes?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. They're all related mm-hmm. In some form or fashion, these seven characters. And it's a span of a day, so it's the events that happen in this day and how it affects these people. So going with that idea of Pale Blue Dot, it's, you know, each scene is so very specific and important, but it's also, in the scope of things, you know, just a blip of a moment mm-hmm. in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And did you design these scenes around the spaces that you knew you would have? Did you imagine those, some of them, as you were creating these scenes?
Definitely, mm-hmm. yeah. So some mm-hmm. of them were enhanced by the area that I was going to use, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about some of the characters who are in these seven stages. So you've mentioned the 7-year-old and the 70-year-old. Mm-hmm. What kinds of genders and occupations?
Can I do this? It's 4 females and 3 males, I think. I don't know how to say it without giving too much away.
Well, you don't have to then. Maybe that's enough that we need to know.
They're all going through the most important thing in their life at that moment. Mm-hmm. So it could be, you know, for the 70-year-old, it's dealing with age and what that brings. In the middle, it's marriage versus the self, or career, or family. It's these kind of very basic ideas, but to these people, so very important.
It's the universe.
Right, exactly.
To them.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, and one thing that's very interesting about this performance, they're in different spaces around the ACA. It will take place over the space of 2 hours, mm-hmm. but people won't just wander around. It's going to be a guided tour.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And are you the guide in this?
No, I'm not.
You are not. Yeah. Are you in the play?
I'm backstage.
You're backstage.
I'm the one kind of making it happen. There's a very important technical note. There's two audiences, and they're moving. One's moving forward through time, and one's moving backwards through time.
So you have two guides, one going backwards and one going forward. Do you get to choose which one you want to be in, or do you do both in the same night?
No, it's two different groups. They okay. meet in the middle. It's at seven scenes.
Right.
They meet at four, and then
they go
their separate
the other
ways.
Way.
Yeah.
So it would be great to go two nights, wouldn't it? And then you can experience
mm-hmm.
the different ways.
Yeah.
And I have to say that the first night, Tuesday night, I think is almost sold out, Paige,
yes.
you were saying. Mm-hmm. So only about 30 people
Correct.
For each performance, mm-hmm. each found space performance. So probably a good idea to start reserving your tickets right now. How many performances will you do altogether?
Six.
Mm-hmm. Three next week and three the following week.
Yeah.
We are talking about Jaron Schechtsnyder's piece, Stars Like People, her found space piece that is the first in the ACA's residency program. We'll go throughout the year, but Jaron's is the first. And again, just using the entire space and breaking down those barriers, those expectations we mm-hmm. have of what theater is, what art performance is. Really an amazing opportunity here in our community. And we do have to tell people that this will be the last piece they'll see of yours for a while in Lafayette. You're headed off to Vancouver.
Yes. Correct.
All right. To get all kinds of stories and uh-huh. learn new things and hopefully come back at some point and mm-hmm. Enhance our creative scene as well. So a really nice way to honor all the work that you've done and to really experience something very unusual and unique. So Paige, I know people are going to want to know how they can get tickets for
sure.
this performance.
Yeah, and you can just give us a call at the ACA. It's 233-7060 to purchase tickets, or you can always go online and purchase tickets, acadianasnowforthearts.org.
All right. So remember, yeah. only 30 spaces for each night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, and then
Correct.
The following week mm-hmm. as well. Well, Paige, we really thank you for your vision for this residency that, again, will take place throughout the year. It's completely scheduled, and I know mm-hmm. we'll have you on throughout the year to talk about the other performances. The next one actually isn't until January,
Correct.
So we have a little space here
mm-hmm.
right now, but we'll be talking to you more
sure.
about that.
Sure, and you can go online to look up residency at the center to see the other ones that are coming up this year.
All right. Well, thanks yeah. for that. And Jaron, again, thanks for all the pleasure and fascination you've given to people uh-huh. since you've been
Thank
back
you.
In Lafayette. And we'll look forward to this piece, Stars Like People, and then look forward at some point to other work. Thank you both.
Thank you.